The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy,
it's time to get this party started. It's the
footy, footy,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about. It's time to get this party started tonight.
Is it recording?
Yes.
Okay, go again, Shereen. Let's pretend that you're going for the first time.
Okay. I just wanted to say I had an amazing trip to Japan, the land of Nedoshiko, and fantastic. And I thought of you both and football while I was there. So I got each of you a little kimono doll, a doll in a kimono holding what looks like a football, but is actually a traditional Japanese puzzle, but we're going to pretend it's a football and that this is little Hamaru Sawa, who is one of my all-time favorite footballers. And nice. I love this for you.
I see nothing but balls.
So well done.
Hamaru Sawa, one of my favorite ever teammates, by the way. I got a chance to play with Sawa in Atlanta.
I did not know that. Where?
And just a delightful person. Atlanta Beat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm like freaked out right now because she accepted her Player of the Year award, a FIFA award, in a kimono, and I was screaming the entire time because she is formidable and wonderful. And oh my goodness, Amy, she's also very lucky to have played with you.
Oh, so. You're way too kind, but she's just brilliant. Like one of the most technically skilled players ever seen, and to see that in action in the day to day. I just marveled at her continually, and she's just the nicest, sweetest person. But this is the broadcast. That voice you hear is Shereen Ahmed, who's back from her travels in Japan, maybe severely jet-lagged, but we're not noticing. And Signe Butler. I'm Amy Walsh, if I haven't said that already. And Shereen, the social clip that we shared last week on our week 3 wrap in NSL action, we referred to you affectionately as umami, as the ingredient that brings everything together, that elevates all the other flavors. So we're very happy to have you back.
Thank you. I was so excited to be called umami. I was lovely. And Signe trying to pronounce a protein that I don't even know how to pronounce. Because I keep hearing Liechtenstein, which is a small European nation. Mm. Which is not the same thing. So say good on you for trying, because I don't even
Lethicin, right?
Lethicin. Yeah, it's a wee lecithin in pronunciation.
I was taught.
It was very funny though. So this is the bras, as I said. So this will be our wrap on week 4, which all of a sudden, like the weeks are just coming at you. And a lot happened this past week, but the broadcast and Footy Prime are brought to you by BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada. So let's really quickly, I wanted to go get into this first because it was just kind of top of mind for me. Before we get into NSL action, there's a lot happening women's football, and especially women's Champions League final happening this weekend. Our friend Jess Lisi will be on the call for One Soccer. So if you want to catch that, just tune in to Jess with Andy. And I can't remember who else will be covering that, but there will be a surprise perhaps on the panel. But you'll be able to catch that game in Canada. But can Ashley Lawrence complete the quad? She's already lifted 2 trophies this season. She has 2 major finals. She's looking to add even more silverware. And hopefully we might see Ashley Lawrence back in the Canadian squad for this upcoming window in June, where they will only have 1 match. And that was leaked by One Soccer. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but this has been all over socials. It's not been officially announced by Canada Soccer, but it's all over Twitter. So I figure I can probably make mention of it as well. And I'm on the coverage. They'll be playing Costa Rica on June 8th. Hopefully I don't get fired, but that's out there. That's information. I am not sharing embargoed information. But yeah.
Maybe it was embargoed, but it's not on you to have, leaked it. And it is very much out there.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you for having my back. But Casey Stoney mentioned, like, the past couple of windows, I think that seen Canada turn the corner and perform better. They look more like themselves. There's a clear identity, both that she believes and then this more recent FIFA series, but very little time together in training to work on those principles of play. So this coming window will hopefully allow them to do that. So what do we think of these two things? Like Ashley Lawrence, kind of a really huge second half of the season with Lyon, and now hopefully entering the fray with the national team again for the first time in 2026.
I'm thrilled. I think Ashley Lawrence is a storied player who went through, had a couple of challenges, bumps, had injuries. And I'm really happy to see this. I think her potential, I hope this is like this comeback of sorts. And what I would say might be unceremonious parting with Chelsea in that didn't go towards the end of that her time there. She started off incredibly strong. But it's also, I can't imagine it's easy also to be playing, you know, alongside Khadisha Buchanan, who is like very clearly the club's baby, like, and deservedly so, you know, but also her having a chance, like Ashley being at PSG first, then going to Chelsea and then going to Lyon. I really hope it's a successful run for her and a little bit of that comeback. I always like those kind of stories. And there's a missing piece still on the national team. And can her experience and her playing and her form live up to that and contribute again the way it has in the past? I hope so. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I do think that there's a lot of depth now, though, at that wing back position. So I think having Ashley Lawrence back there and challenging for that position, again, we talk about having multiple players to challenge for a spot on the team. I think that that's like important. And it was Ashley Lawrence like for so long, like there wasn't anybody knocking on the door, but I think there's several players that have stepped in there now, barring injuries, that can actually take that starting role. So like, where's, you know, how much is this current run of form going to help her? And does Casey Stoney call her back in? Like, that's what I'm kind of concerned about is I think she has to at this point because she's proven herself. Mm-hmm. But I think she has to, but like, is there, you know, I don't know the conversations behind the scenes, but is there any sour grapes? Is there, you know, sour grapes, fuzzy raspberries or strawberries?
Right, the fuzzy strawberries, right?
Fuzzy strawberries.
Like heavy-handed analogy.
Yeah. So, but you know, is there anything, you know, personally behind the scenes that we don't know about, right? You know, any clashes or anything like that, but I think her run of form deserves a call in.
I agree.
And just, I think the leadership, as you mentioned, Shireen, is really important because a lot of these players that are challenging for that wing back position outside of maybe like Gabby Carl and Jade Rivera, who's obviously been there before, but she does provide a little bit more years in terms of competition at the big levels, right? So,
and especially leading up into a Women's World Cup qualifying year.
Leading into a World Cup.
I think if the reintegration is going to happen, you sort out those discussions off the pitch if feelings were hurt and you get her back in now. But it will also be, I'm happy you brought up Carl Sigs because she's been missing because of injury, back playing for the Spirit. So that's two fullbacks back in the conversation. So lots of competition, which is great because it's an increased depth of squad, but you make sure that the culture and the leadership within that is sorted moving forward.
And to your point, when you were talking to Amy about like immediately when you started talking about the next window here, is it still an experimental window for Canada or is it, let's try and get some decisions made in terms of who we're having in camp? Because I see we talked about some bright spots in that midfield, which I think still has some question marks.
Yeah.
And the potential of having somebody young and obviously in form and Kira Mellenhorst coming in as maybe a call-in or maybe just trying her out in camp and seeing what the environment's like.
Yeah, I love that shout. I think you can do both. I think that you can start to solidify with your eye on November and understanding that the window is getting very, very small now. You have this one where you can solidify some principles, put in players who are going to be penciled into your 11 or who you believe that's going to be, throwing other players who are seasoned and experienced into the mix. So that picture starts to get a little bit clearer, but that is maybe the top of your roster. That's maybe your 11 plus maybe three or four subs kind of next player up mentality, and then how you're rounding out the rest of your roster, I think that always gives you the ability to experiment and gives you a little bit of wiggle room. And I don't think that should ever change. Like we've looked, I think it's unfair to compare Casey Stoney in Canada and her much maligned player pool, which I don't think is as small as she thinks it is. I will die on that hill. I think it's unfair to compare our player pool to the US's player pool. It really is apples to oranges. But the type of experimentation that Emma Hayes did when she came in to really mine the talent at her disposal is something that I think we should take an example. We should definitely pull from that and continue to do that even in a World Cup qualifying year. You have to.
I do agree that the approach should be dynamic. Like I think there's like a solid set of players who we know. Like it's not a surprise that Vanessa Gilles will be on this roster, right? Like we know this, barring, you know, God forbid any injury or knock or whatever. But I do agree with Amy about the flexibility and dynamism. You have to keep doing that as a coach. You have to keep those options open. And to add on to what Sig said, the one thing that we all agree had been lacking is the push and the competition for those spaces. So this is a good problem to have for Canada. We don't want to be stagnant in what that player pool is or be restricted. The United States has 10 times population we do, so I have a lot of thoughts on that as well. But that being said, I do agree with Dubs that, like, Dubsy's right. Like there are really good soccer players in this country. That needs to be capitalized on and developed. So it's not like we don't have that talent. Like look at what, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I will say it. Look at the men's side. God, I can't believe those words came out of my mouth. What they've done in the last couple of years is outstanding. And I am so excited about everything, and I'm excited about soccer in Canada. And I think everybody else needs to be too.
Yeah, no, I love that comparison because Jessie Marsh and Casey Stoney, and speaking of Casey Stoney, I wish I could load this in, but this is on my phone. That's Casey Stoney with her hair down. You might not recognize her. She looks stunning. She's stunning with her hair pulled back.
It is a good week for Arsenal people. I will had to add that in somewhere, I know. Amy.
God damn it, you Gunners. But yeah, former Gunner Casey Stoney got inducted into the Barclays Women's Super League Hall of Fame. So congrats to the women's national team coach. But slightly off track there, I liked the comparison to our men's team because they've both been brought in as head coaches to the respective women's and men's national teams, speaking of Jessie Marsh and Casey Stoney. But there is a larger and broader narrative and also mandate for them both for the development side of football in this country, which is at the forefront of everybody's mind because of this World Cup and what will be the legacy. But what the men's team has done very well and is to start to widen that pipeline with the camp poutines, like the January camps of mostly local players, whether you're in MLS or CPL or you're in academies, and you're being kind of picked out of those environments, plucked out and brought in and given a taste of what it's like to be at a senior national team camp, both with the competition, the standard, but also the playing style. Get exposed to new tactical, schemes and systems. And then you bring that back. You're a little bit more sophisticated back at your club setup. We need that on the women's side. I'm sure that is on the radar, whether you're Kevin Blue or Casey Stoney. That is something that needs to happen down the line because we're seeing this next crop of talent, whether it's in League One, whether it's in U Sports, or whether it's in the Northern Super League. That is fledgling. We know this, but it's in its sophomore year. And we're seeing players, to your point, Signa, like Kira Mellenhorst, who are there and just crying out for the next level. Not to say that the NSL is not enough, but yes, we have tabbed you. You're maybe not the next coming, but you have a high ceiling and I would love to see you in our environment. We have to have that.
Yeah.
Like your playing career should be beginning when you're 22, 23. It shouldn't be questioning like, oh, is my time with the national team over? You know, like if you are a Kira Mellenhorst or if you're a Nikki Small, like this is the prime. This is when you need to be showcased. This is when we need to be developing you and giving you some experience at that level. And I think, you know, the concentration's on the men's team right now with the World Cup just, you know, in the forefront. But with the Women's World Cup just around the corner and qualifying, I think, you know, maybe that's an idea that they can throw in there. We haven't seen that. We haven't seen the sort of the camp poutine model, right? I don't know would we dub it the same thing, Dubs, or would we call it something else? I leave it to you and your cleverness to come up with a name. But
I don't know. Maybe some broadcast fans can workshop something for us. We'll bandy a couple of names about.
But you know, we're gonna see the under 20 World Cup this mm-hmm. September, right? In Poland, you're gonna see players that are already on the radar, like Anabel Ciuku. You're gonna see, Bridget Mutapula. You're gonna see players like that I think have who's going to Florida State by the way, NCAA champion. So, really good program that she'll be going to. So I think there's gonna be some great players that are on the radar that I think could be making an impact in the years to come.
Mm-hmm. And Lacey Kindle. Right? So Lacey Sarah Kindle, Maglio, who was my
Haley
teammate,
Hunter,
right? I know.
Olivia Chisholm, like it just goes, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. A couple more things. Janine Sonas, player of the week in NWSL, a brace, scored one from open play, scored one from the penalty spot. I wanted to just have a quick thought from you both on Evelyn Vienne. Her time at Roma likely to be coming to an end. League champs with Roma for a second time. So our women's national team, no strangers to silverware. Because as I mentioned, so Ashley Lawrence is a rematch of the 2018-2019 Champions League finals where they will face Barcelona. And then the league final against Paris FC. We played on Friday, May 29th. So there's a lot happening there, but Vienne's wins it again with Roma, has had her share of trophies as well there, but she's in a friend of the show, AC Lang's words, she's conquered Italy, Sweden, and France, right? Mm-hmm. So like they have become land of Vienne's, right? Where to next? We know she got burned in NWSL. She has been public and very loud about maybe not her distaste for that league, but I think she is unlikely to return. Where do we think she lands next?
Okay, so I'm going to... So she's done Italy, she's done Sweden, and she's done France. The obvious choice is Spain. So where does she end up? And like, you know, Barcelona is incredible. I am so excited about this Women's Champions League final. And it could be there. It could be there. She won't. Like, I would not see her switching to another Italian club after being so dedicated to Roma and being beloved there. That's not going to happen.
Out of Serie A Femminile. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I say a Euro club that's... Yeah. That's a challenger for in Champions League. I think that's like the epitome.
I agree.
That's where you want to be. I think she's proven herself. I could see her going back to France.
Interesting.
So good whatever.
Vanessa Gill.
She is whatever.
So, yeah, Germany,
Bundesliga,
right? Yeah.
Frauen Bundesliga. She could end up there. That's actually a really good one. But because the style of play, what I like about Vienne is that my only concern with Spain, although I did just say it could be Spain, the style of play is very particular. And Barcelona likes to have Spanish players. Like, I feel like they tend to like that style of play, very tiki taka. I totally understand. I think she would be great in Bundesliga. I think she's making a mark for herself internationally. And I'm really glad that she's so open about the NWSL isn't going to work for her and what happened there and everything that transpired. And these players need to do what's best for them and their growth and their development. And, you know, to remain as sharp an attack up front as you can, I really hope that it is, as Sig said, a Champs League, you know, team, someone in that realm, because that's where she belongs. She really is stunning up front, and she can be. So I hope that whatever it is, I want it to be consistent. I want her the opportunity to continue, because what we don't want is a lull, especially like the year before World Cup.
And we want her to play. So yes, you want to play Champions League football. I totally agree with that shout, Signa. Like that is definitely something that is like, you know, she's to-do list, like places that have to tick these boxes, and then you're eliminating different clubs as a result. Tops there is Champions League and maybe contenders, right? But you don't want to do that to your own detriment in getting valuable playing time. So it's about managing that balance, right? Like going somewhere where you're going to be pushed, hopefully to the next level, there's going to be that competition and hopefully you're going to be the one to go out and grab it, but you don't want to be relegated to the bench perennially. And then maybe you knock yourself out of contention in important years coming up for the women's national team. Because what she's done continuously to push the narrative and shouts for her to start as at number 9 for Canada is score prolifically at club. So you don't want to lose that.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for this long tangent. From here, we will go to week four of NSL action. So let's, I usually want to start with just a little bit of a score roundup. And that's where I had it before you guys walked in. Of course, I've lost my little graphic. Stand by, friends.
It's a good graphic, Ames.
So this is our little score roundup. So if you're joining us on YouTube, it's up here in audio. I will just share them with you. So the week opened up with a rainy contest at TD Place where the Rapid rolled over the Tides 2-0. And then we saw not really a barn burner, but my goodness, what a thrilling end to this match where it looked like the visiting roses to McMahon were going to walk away with all 3 points with a late Monyard goal. But before it was out of my mouth as the winner, that's Maya Jones. And this storyline in the league for the player, for the club, for the NSL, what a redemption arc for her to come back since the first match since October of 2024. And she scores a brace. So they're able to get their first point of this campaign as they draw the roses. And then it ended last night. Sigs, you are on the call with, wait, was last night? Two nights ago. Again, all these weeks running together, all these matches running together, where the Rise were able to get their first win of the year as they play Spoilers at Wanderers Grounds, where the Tides pushed and pushed and pushed, created chances, but couldn't find more than the one goal from Jordan Rhodes. So they're on the wrong end of a 2-1 scoreline. So where do we want to start here? Do we want to pull up our starting 11 and kind of unpack it from there and kind of work in reverse?
Oh, let the listeners and viewers wait for a moment.
Okay.
Patience, my friends.
I love it.
Let's not that I don't want to talk about the Ottawa Halifax game, mm-hmm. but I think one of the biggest game of the week, I think, was the Wild Montreal game.
I agree.
It is because, as Shireen likes to talk about, she's here for the storylines. And there is no bigger storyline than watching a player come back from over a year and a half of an injury, come onto the pitch in their hometown, in a part of that year and a half she spent thinking, am I even going to come back? Am I even going to be able to play again? Your career's done. This is a player, Maya Jones, who was a youth national team player who has had eyeballs on her to be, you know, within that national camp. I mean, her time with the San Diego Wave was really good for a rookie player. And she said as much to me in an interview that I had with her when she joined AFC Toronto. She said, that's my goal is I want to be on the radar. I want to be on the national team radar for the senior team. And I'm not saying that that's where she is right now, but I'm saying that this is a player that obviously has that pedigree and was disrupted by injury. But to see her come on, to see what the Calgary Wild can be with their starting players. Mm-hmm. And it's no disrespect to the players that have been playing for them through this season, but they've had a boatload of injuries to some key players. And some of them we still haven't seen. We still haven't seen Allie Hess. We still haven't seen Sarita Thurton. But Michaela Moore comes on. Callie Johnson comes on. And Maya Jones comes on. And boy, within... like they came on with 17 minutes to go and it was a completely different team. Mm-hmm. Like completely different team.
Yeah. And there was, if I could just interject, there was earlier subs that were made. It was a fairly even first half. And then the Roses completely dominated from the start of the second half to about the hour mark. And this is where I think Robert Rossitoyou made a misstep. I think he miscalculated the strength or the resilience of the Wild, or he miscalculated the impact that some of these substitutions would have. But the game completely changed when you started inserting some fresh legs for Calgary, but also some veteran leadership, some players who understand how to play and maybe how to implement the vision of interim head coach in Sinead McSherry.
I wanted to jump in here too. One of the things, another player that hasn't touched the pitch yet and still outstanding is Facundo Montage, who was a Calgary Wild's first signing, is also on extended leave because of injury. One of the things that I loved about this match, and I caught up and watched all of them, was the goalkeeping. I thought that the goalkeeping in this match, particularly Karpenko, Talbert, really happy to see her in net. I thought she was impressive. They were both tested. Karpenko had some fantastic saves. But I really, the pace of it, and I agree with Sig 100%, Maya Jones coming back to score a brace was fantastic. And like, we love that. We want to see it. And one of the things that happens in psychosocially is the confidence piece. To be able to pull that off, like Elise Bennett came in and I believe she had a brace her first match ever. So to start off and have that confidence
versus the Wild.
Yes, exactly. Is to be able to do that. Now, also the Wild being able to tie Montreal, who have really set out running out the gate this season, coming with a fresh perspective, really like revamped, is excellent. Like, I'm really happy for Wild. And, you know, McSherry was celebrating on the sidelines as if they'd won the championship when they scored, which I thought was hilarious and also appropriate. Like, they're happy they tied it up. The second goal when it was scored, also incredible. The time of this match, the timing of the goals was fantastic. It was riveting. It was a fantastic game. So,
I was going to say, like, I want to backtrack just for a second. So Mikayla Moore, what she provides in the back, like the confidence that the team had as soon as Mikayla Moore came in at the back is just, it's just different, right? Like it's just different. Where was I going, Shireen? You said something and it was triggering me. Oh, McSherry celebrating. This team has been through so much. Mm-hmm. You know, they lose their coach, Lydia Bedford, moving on to a great opportunity with England's under-23s. But that happened at the beginning of March. Mm-hmm. So, like, this team is operating with down a coach. Everybody's pulling. They're, you know, doing two or three jobs to try and get things going with the team. They're sharing tactical duties. They're sharing practice days. They're sharing academy work. Like, they're all kind of chipping in. And so I think it was a real team effort, like just behind the scenes, for the Wild to, I have a lot of respect for the Wild. Like, it's a female heavy leadership group, more ownership actually just added, with Lisa Mitchell, I believe is her name, last week. So it's the reason why our good friend Maggie Doherty Howard chose to stay with the Wild was because of the vision of this team. And I'm happy for them that they got the point, but I still think the Roses are the class of the league so far.
They remain unbeaten. It should be said, it's something that gets a little bit lost in that narrative, which should be Maya Jones heavy, should be Calgary Wild heavy, because I think you're going to see a team now that doesn't really resemble the team that started the season because of these returnees who will mean so much. And Sigs, you said it. And when Moore takes the pitch, the energy is transformed. There's a confidence that is inherent to their play, and they have pieces. They just have to figure out how it all goes together. And returning players that have still yet to see the pitch, in Hess and Thurton, they will also raise the standard of play there and give them that depth on the bench. But yeah, for the Roses, I think they leave that match. They share the points. They leave feeling like it's a loss. But the Wild get the draw and they feel like it's a win.
We saw that. We saw that when Halifax tied AFC Toronto at BMO Field in like one of the first matches, we saw that same thing. Toronto treated it like it was a loss and Halifax was like, no, this is like a win. So like we see that very often. Well, I will continue to see it depending on where the teams are or how they're performing. But I think this is again, storylines. This is a great story. This match was fantastic. Sig, it must have been a blast to call it because you sounded like you were having a great time.
Can I tell you a little behind the scenes of what happened? Like, because as Amy talked about, you know, we thought it was the winning goal from Monyard. Like Monyard came across, and we know from hearing from Robert Arsatoyu, like in practice, Monyard has like the hardest shot on the team. Like she's
got a two-footed player.
Player. So, you know, the Wild had to respect her in the box when she got the ball because they didn't know, you know, which foot she could go with. She ends up scoring what looked to be the winner in the 90th minute. And we're calling from studio for most of these games, just, you know, it's we're still in the infancy of this league. We'd love to be on site, by the way. Any sponsors out there want to send us on site. But we are calling from the studio.
I thought you went to your radio voice. Any sponsors?
And by the way, but we were, the replay was showing. And we have a monitor. So we have the main monitor that you all see at home. So the
like our game feed. Monitor.
So it's the feed that everyone sees at home. That's what we call off of. But we have a side, we have like a side view, and it's the, it tracks the play. So it usually is like kind of like an ISO cam on where the ball is. And I was watching the replay, but I had one eye over here because I could see, I was like, oh, Collie Johnson's got the ball. Like, and Collie Johnson has already kind of made some things happen in this match since her insertion. And so immediately it came out of the replay and it was like cross in the box, Jones scored. Like it was so quick, but that's a little behind the scenes of what Amy and I were looking at.
Yeah, Callie Johnson came in the 73rd minute, right before Jones did, who came in the 76th minute. So that's a tidy bit of business for Maya Jones. It's not only a brace in your debut in the Northern Super League, but like we talked about that absence, but you do it in 14 minutes of work, right? Plus stoppage time. Like that's very, very impressive. But that partnership is something to keep a lookout for in the future with, you know, Johnson generating things on the flanks and then the precise crossing and then Jones on the end of those. But what the Roses do have to fix, and I mean, there's not a whole lot that they do have to address because I mentioned that they're unbeaten. Like those are the first points that they dropped. But the restarts off of kickoffs, whether it's starting the first half, starting the second half, maybe a little bit set pieces, there are lulls. You know, they're going to sleep a little bit. And Robert Rossitoyou talked to us about that in advance of this game and how the team needed to tighten up just in their discipline and just in their awareness of those moments. And there's Calgary again, ready to strike when maybe the Roses rush back to center when they don't have to. And then there's the kickoff. And then Calgary goes right back down the other way and ties the matchup. Okay, so very quickly, the Ottawa Halifax match, which again is a week ago and feels like it was an eternity ago. Sadie Waite, go Big Red. So that's another Cornhusker. Anytime I can mention that, I'm happy to. I've been talking to my former coach, John Walker, who coached both Florence Belzile and Sadie Waite and is still at the University of Nebraska. He was up visiting his dad in Kingston. So John and I still talk and he's really impressed with them both. And Sadie started instead of Mina in that number 10 position and scored a beauty of a goal with the outside of her right boot. And then Chu is able to double their lead, who had a very impressive performance. So just quickly, so to end week four, we had the Rise. You were on the call, as I mentioned, Sigs. DeFilippo and Quinn from the spot are able to best the lone goal for the Tides, and that was Jordan Rhodes, who was equally as impressive as the number nine for the East Coast team.
So Stephen Hart said to us before the match, he said he's really pleased with the team so far this season. You know, we've talked a lot on the pod here about, you know, 11 changes to that, you know, 11 new players, right? Yeah. So it's taking some time, but what he's seen from the team is glimpses that they could go, that they could become an even better team. And he said that they've played two good games, one good half, and then one half where they didn't manage the ball. That was the game against Ottawa. So he was not pleased with the second half and how they mismanaged the ball, basically. And I'm wondering what
conditions
he thought.
Didn't help. Not as excuse, yeah. But conditions were extremely poor for both sides. Right. Yeah.
But I'm not sure how he would feel about this game against Vancouver. The chance creation was there, as you said, Amy. And shout out to Naya Cardoza, who came in as a striker, like with like whatever 10 minutes to go, and I was like, oh, what's Cardoza doing? Oh, Hardy's got something up his sleeve here. And he did, because the ball just skipped over her foot. Like it was like, I don't think she was in the right place, right time, and the ball just didn't
Sid Kennedy just seemed to catch seemed to pitch at the wrong time and skipped up over Cardoza, who was
that was the tying goal right there. But anyway, it was it was good. And I thought Jordan Rhodes has been really good the last two games, connecting on set pieces. You know, I think as I never played striker myself, but I was often on set pieces, and connecting on a set piece is difficult in terms of timing, in terms of bravery, in terms of decision-making. And for her to get a piece of just about every cross that was sent in, I think says a lot to her timing and her hunger to get on the ball.
And interesting how we've seen Lemire mostly boss the set pieces, whether they're from corners or whether they're from, you know, more central balls that she's singing, that she's swinging in, because she's got such range with that left foot. But it was Substitute and Peterson who seemed to be taking most of them.
Yeah, one Peterson of the things,
yeah. Oh, Pedersen, sorry.
Pedersen.
One of the things about that particular match was, okay, so I love Lemire because she's consistent. She's solid. She's consistent. Like, she knows where the ball's going to go. You can rely on that. And someone who's played forward, Sigs, you're absolutely right. Set pieces are essential for creating chaos in the box if you're attacking, but also trying to get to the ball and get it in. And what I love is that there's a definite difference in the way Tides are performing, and it's clear. And it's clear in terms of their how difficult they can be to play against. And I love that, because, like, I don't think the league is ready for that or is adjusted to that fully yet. Whereas Stephen Hart has a squad that he knows can do better, will do better, but is already leagues ahead of what they were last year. And that's important as part of the, you know, this continues. One of the things that I thought was, Halifax didn't stop trying. Like, there was attempts. Yes, they were weaker in some areas in terms of, like, being on the ball and, like, but I felt that they were, the attempts on goal, and Sid Kennedy's crosses are things that I dream about. Like, some of her passes, I'm so thrilled with. And she's one of the players that I look to immediately to find on the pitch. Like, where is Sid? Also because her boots are, like, bright. They're very, very bright. But I'm also, like, because I like that engine reliability as well. And so I'm excited for this team. As we talked about, I'm excited about Calgary, but I'm excited to see where Halifax goes. I like to see the waves and the ripples they cause, because they're causing ripples. Yes. I like these water metaphors.
Tiffany, I do. And it was very well done. Cameron started in lieu of Kennedy.
Yes.
And comes in as a sub and makes a real impact, has the ability to be that game changer off the bench, whether she's starting or coming on as a sub. But I thought that Sarah LaMiller, like, she set a standard last year, but this year, much the way Megan Sauvé, I don't think we've talked enough about the Roses and Megan Sauvé and her influence and her leadership, but her consistent play. You mentioned consistency, Shireen. Like, she has raised the standard. There's real quality there, especially on her final ball, but her, like, there's more jump. And she was clearly carrying an awk at the end of last season, a surgery in the off season, and she looks transformed. She looks reinvigorated. And I think you're seeing a Sarah LaMiller who kind of threw down the gauntlet in year one, was somebody the Tides relied upon. And now that they've gone to the well and they've brought in more quality, she's like, okay, I see what you're doing here. We're going to be a better team. So I need to raise my own game. And I've been really impressed with Sarah LaMiller so far in this year.
I feel like, and Sig, this is conjecture. We identified that you love Megarty season one. I feel like Sarah LaMiller is your player season two. I feel the way there's an affinity in your voice. Am I off on this?
No, I think it was funny. Amy and I said this because remember there was like, Zoha, who is like wonderful and did like a social video for me, by the way, shout out. There was Amy and I in the booth and we were like celebrating like a Tides goal. And I was like, whoa, whoa, people, like, just so you know, like, whenever there's a goal scored, we are literally doing the same thing. Like, we are like, yeah. Like,
can I just like that Calgary-Montreal game?
Calgary-Montreal.
It was like, yeah, like Maya Jones. Like, obviously we've dissected the storylines there and how much it meant to her as the player. But like, Signe was standing up like that. It's something we should do more behind the scenes stuff, because that there's that reaction. We just want to see good football. So yeah, we're celebrating goals, but we're also celebrating great saves. And that's something this week had as well. I think, Shireen, you mentioned it, but Calgary, instead of Molly Race, you get Caitlin Talbert, who maybe would have, had a run out a little bit earlier, but she had picked up a niggle, but she had an outstanding performance and a couple of saves that should be worthy of save of the week in my estimation. But I didn't want to make it all Tides, because again, we've been accused of an East Coast bias, but first win for the Rise. So you get some changes here. So you change from a 4-3-3. They're usually a 3-4-3 in possession anyway, but Anya Heiner-Moeller goes out with like starting positions on this tactical board. It's going to be fluid. We understand this, but we're going with a back three. Do you, Signe Butler, do you think that this is due to the results, that they've been poor, or is this just a personnel thing? We're missing a shit ton of center backs anyway. Why not just play three at the back? Because we also have a lot of potency in the flanks. A lot of things.
We're missing a shit ton center backs. All of the above. I would say all of the above, actually. I mean, you concede 11 goals in three games. Like, ugh.
Yeah, you're shipping a lot of goals.
And I asked, you know, and they made a tactical change in goal too.
Yes.
And Morgan McCaslin comes out, who was the Gold Glove winner last year. 9 clean sheets for Morgan McCaslin, was the NSL MVP. But it's not anything to do with McCaslin's goalkeeping per se, but if you're going to go to a three back, you need to have a goalkeeper that has really good technical ability in the way that they can distribute the ball.
Yes.
And Wolf, Jessica Wolf, who made her debut just 20 years old, she used to be, apparently used to be an out player, like as a youth. And it really shows, like, her distribution was like, she didn't think twice. Like, there wasn't an off foot, or what am I looking for? What's the word I'm looking for, people? Yeah. She didn't take a misstep.
Yeah.
And I think that we haven't seen her yet, 'cause I think, you know, she's still young and, but you know, maybe we'll see more of her this season. But I think it turned out well for them. And I thought Tori Tumuth was really good. I don't want to say I wasn't impressed with her in the center back role, but I think I liked her better in this three back.
Yep, I agree. And then we got to see Mia Ponte.
Yeah, yeah. Who her and Anna Bout were confusing me on the field, because they were both on the same side. And they both had like the low pony. Mm. And I was like, guys, you got to switch it up for me here. It's yeah. But
can I also add that I have been really excited by Camila Reyes on the pitch and her contributions to Rise, where when they started, I felt that Rise were trying to figure out who they were after missing so many key pieces. I feel like Reyes fills in a lot of that, and to watch her is exciting. I think she's an exciting player. I think there's a tremendous amount of passion she brings, and like feisty, she's feisty. And I love that. But I also, it's very clear that her momentum and her addition to that squad emboldens and enriches them. And I love to see it, because I was a little worried for the Rise in the very, very beginning of the season. Like, you know, there was just some things happening, and seeing every team get an opportunity with new players to be able to coalesce that quickly, you don't always see that. And I feel that she's done that already. She's embedded herself really well into that squad. So that's something I also wanted to point out. Watching her is just like, it's easy to watch her play football.
I do worry. I think that what was solved with this tactical tweak is you get the better distribution on the back end from Wolf versus McCaslin, who remains a premium shot stopper. Like, obviously we know that with Morgan McCaslin, but now if you're Anya Heinemüller, you have a little bit more depth, you have a little bit more up your sleeve in terms of how you want to play. But this team was way too stretched in, you know, the losses that were lopsided. They're conceding back-to-back 4-goal games, like on the wrong end of a 4-0 result a couple of times. But with what Reyes does with Quinn, to your point, Shireen, is that she gives you a little bit more going forward, looking for that triangulation with Okamoto, or mm-hmm. you know, looking to combine with Abdu, who's providing the depth on the attack. But Quinn will occasionally get isolated. And I think you saw the ties off of a number of giveaways or carelessness with the ball, able to capitalize on that. They weren't able to finish, but they were able to chance create off of turnovers. And a large part of that was not necessarily mistakes from Quinn, but just getting overrun slightly in the middle of the park. So against maybe better opponents, that might be exposed a little bit more.
Yeah.
Okay, shall we show our best 11?
Because we left people waiting for 20 minutes.
I know, this cliffhanger here.
Surprise,
voila. So this is the best 11 of week 4. So there were a lot of, or there was a lot of competition in between the sticks. But this week, we give the nod to Anna Karpenko, who finally conceded. So you would think maybe not, but provided some really important game-changing saves for the Roses in order to get a share of those points. And then our back line from right to left is Valeron from the Tides, JC or Jess Coward from the Rise, Jaleesa Harris, who has become a mainstay of these best 11s for the Rapid, and Chu, also from the Rapid on that left-hand side, who really likes to pro forward in that left flank. Midfield three of Jackie Savicki, no, Savitsky for... It's because it's written Savicki and my brain did that. Sorry, Jackie. I know your name is Savitsky. For the Wild, Kira Mellenhorst, who we've been talking about in glowing terms for the Rapid, and Cho for the Tides, and then a front three of Rhodes for the Tides, Maya Jones, who we know had an outstanding performance in about 15 minutes for the Wild, and Lisa Pachursky, who's another piece that the Rise lost, but the Roses, it's their gain. And she is figuring out how to play in Robert Rossitoyou's system. So there are a lot of players that we've mentioned already that we thought were standouts of week four, but did not make our best 11. So any other cases for players that maybe we haven't talked about so far that you want to give a shout out to?
Well, I'll shout out Miller because Shireen has already said that she's my favorite of season two. not necessarily my favorite of season two, but I think that as a third year pro, she had 1 year in Iceland. I think that she's really coming into her own. Again, still a young player. I think she's 25. And the thing that Stephen Hart really likes about her and feels works well is when she goes at people. So when she's going at people, she's got pace. She's got pace with the ball. And when she works in combination, whether that's with Cho, or Cho is just like, Cho, just work of art, like in the right spaces, 37 years old, has played every single minute for the Tides this year, just providing so much leadership anyway, so that aside. But I think when Miller works in combination, when she's going at players, the goals are going to come as they did last season, later in the season. And she's carrying the weight of the captain's armband this year. And I think that that's given her a newfound confidence.
Was it Cho that had this beautiful pass to Rhodes for Rhodes to score? Was that what I saw? I saw all three games, matches in succession. So there was one time where Cho had a fantastic pass. Okay, never mind. It's
Rhodes was off the corner. Yeah.
Rhodes was off the corner.
Rhodes was off the corner. For a minute.
But Cho, I believe in the other game against Ottawa, Cho released Rhodes for a shot on Dagenet, I believe. But
that's
off the top of my head, guys. So if I'm wrong.
Do you want to chat Dagenet? Because is that who you had?
I had Dagenet, yeah. Because I thought the first half, she had to be really on her toes against the Tides. The Tides were swarming Ottawa in that first half. Kennedy hit the crossbar. She had to make that stop on Rhodes. Like she had to be on her toes in the shutout. You know, the clean sheet's always, a nod. But Karpenko's own the goalkeeper spot for us, I think, all season. So I have no issues with that either.
It could easily have been Talbert as well.
I think it was her first time. Wasn't it her first match for Wild, Talbert's? This one against Montreal, and just so anyone knows, I don't think we said this, AFC Toronto is off this week. That's why they're nowhere to be seen on the starting 11. But I just wanted to quickly add that also for my own brain. I thought Talbert did fantastic, and I had a lot of questions why she wasn't there earlier. I thought that her momentum, like off jump, like she was literally contorting to be able to save. For me, it was a tough matchup between Karpenko and Talbert, but at the end of the day, I think Karpenko gets it, and I agree with this. But I like this push of confidence for Calgary, and I think it has a lot to do with having Talbert in there. I met her in media day, and she has a certain swagger and a confidence that an injection of that into Wild will be very welcome.
Isn't her nickname Swag Goalie or something?
Oh, is that what it is?
I don't know. So I feel like that's in my notes somewhere, but I don't know where I got that from.
Well, I feel like that's a lot of pressure, isn't it? My goodness.
Well, I mean, I think they that generation, goalies love, I agree with that 100%, love pressure, but also I think Swaggy is just a kind of a characteristic of that generation, and she holds it with a lot of confidence. I mean, that's part of the thing of being a goalkeeper. You have to walk in there with confidence. You can't have an unconfident goalkeeper.
Oh,
it doesn't work that way. So she, I mean, I'm kind of like that person that's like, oh, well, I'm kind of like, oh, that's great. Like, I like that. I like seeing that. So it's nice to see it materialize.
Yeah, that double save, I think, was off of a Tilly James heavy touch. Bennett intercepts it, and then Tess Talbert from distance. But she's already off her line. She's in a position where she can get a big paw to it, and it goes up in the air, and it falls to Tanya Boychuk. And you wonder if the cold pitch had anything to do with it, because there was snow on the pitch in Calgary. Like, we walked into the production studio at Dome, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is really coming down. You know, sometimes you watch like a Premier League game, you're like, oh, it's a little bit sloppy. I wonder what's happening. They go off like the wide cam, and they narrow in, and you see like a player matchup, and you're like, oh my gosh, it is just teeming. Like, it's the rain, it's just a downpour, but you had no idea. So our game cams, like, just, you could hardly see anything because the snow was coming down so heavily. Anyway, all that to say, that ball goes up in the air, Boychuk is by herself at the back post, and that was maybe the game changer, right? Like, maybe the narrative of the Maya Jones brace, like, who knows at that point.
My indication of the weather was Savitsky was wearing earmuffs. So that's also an indication of how cold it is. Then you see the snow pile up on the sidelines, right? So, but I agree with you. I think the elements actually do play a piece here, and I think we shouldn't write them off, like the rain. And then the snow. Oh my God, it's snowing. It's like, it was 30 degrees the day before yesterday.
But Talbert double save, because she's able, it goes underneath, kind of gets caught underneath Boychuk's foot, and then it's Talbert just kind of head of steam comes back and clears it off the line with her boot. So
that was crazy. That off the lines, that was nuts for me. That was like one of the most impressive saves in the entire game. Well, double saves. But love that. We love all of this.
We do.
We love all of it.
We love all of that here at the broadcast. So Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. And you make it legendary, our umami friend, Shereen Ahmed. We're so happy you're back. We're so happy that you can come join us as we break down.
Can I be wasabi? Can I be wasabi?
You're also the wasabi.
We should have said that.
I know. You're the fire. You're the heat. Maybe that's a lot of pressure. You're umami and you're wasabi? Wow.
No, I have multitudes of layers and contradictions. I'm fine with that.
That's right. But you're not, and yet you're not a walking contradiction.
Oh, you're sweet. You are so sweet. My goodness. I miss you guys. I'm not kidding. When I saw that video, I was in Tokyo, I was like hollering with laughter. And I was like, this is so sweet. And I'm showing it to Mark, and he's like, is this an inside joke? I'm like, it's all an inside joke that we share with all of our viewers and listeners.
Yeah. And listen, Mark, people enjoyed it. Okay. We got a lot of likes on that social. So lay off.
Yes, Drizzy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who does all he right, think so, he is?
Anyway, there's a lot coming at you. Siggy's and I will be on coverage this weekend. There's a couple of TSN matches. So week 5 coming at you quick. And then there will be a women's national team squad announcement for June that will be overshadowed by our men's national team World Cup squad, which will be announced on May 29th. But look for our women's national team game to be announced officially. But that's happening June 8th versus Costa Rica. So lots of busy times, lots of football, and lots of commentary and opinions here at the broadcast. So thank you for broadening your horizons with us. We love you. Thanks for tuning in. Let us know, obviously, in whether it's YouTube or it's on socials, if you disagree with us, if you agree with us, players that we maybe forgot to mention, we want to hear from you. So chime in, and we'll keep the conversation going for week 5. So thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening and watching.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Bye. Goodbye now.